Hope you all celebrated a nice Radhastami. And I was in New Vrajadham for Radhastami. How many of you have been there, New Vrajadham? Yeah, it's a very, very beautiful spiritual place, and if you get a chance sometime, I encourage you to go. Especially what was very nice there was, of course, everything was very nice. The deities are very beautiful. The cows were very beautiful. And the air is very beautiful. And the kirtans were very ecstatic. But one nice part was Shivaram Maharaj was leading kirtan, and the devotees have been trained to, when they chant Radhe Shyam, they do it in response. Like the ladies will say Radhe, and then the men will say Shyam. So you'll hear Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, like that. Well, that was very, very nice. Well, there were many nice things. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 36. Yapravajya Grihat Purvam Srivarga Vapanat Puna Yadi Sevita Tan Bhikshu Savaivantasya Patrapa. So this is another one of those verses that somehow or other I get stuck with. I'm not going to say anything. Translation. One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyas but then returns to such materialistic activities is to be called a vantasi, or one who eats his own vomit. He is indeed a shameless person. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Materialistic activities are regulated by the institution of Varnashram Dharma. Without Varnashram Dharma, materialistic activities constitute animal life. Yet, even in human life, while observing the principles of Varna and Ashrama, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, one must ultimately accept Sannyasa, the renounced order. For only by the renounced order can one be situated in Brahmasukha, or transcendental bliss. In Brahmasukha, one is no longer attracted by lusty desires. Indeed, when one is no longer disturbed, especially by lusty desires for sexual indulgence, he is fit to become a sannyasi. Otherwise, one should not accept the sannyas order. If one accepts sannyasa at an immature stage, there is every possibility of his being attracted by women and lusty desires, and thus again becoming a so-called grihastha, or a victim of women. Such a person is most shameless, and he is called a vantasi, or one who eats that which he has already vomited. He certainly leads a condemned life. In our Krishna consciousness movement, it is advised, therefore, that the sannyasis and brahmacharis keep strictly aloof from the association of women so that there will be no chance of their falling down again as victims of lusty desires. Ya pravajya grihat purvam trivargavapanat puna yadi sevitatan bhikshu savaivantasya patrapa. One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life, namely religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One who first accepts sannyas but then returns to such materialistic activities is to be called a vantasi, or one who eats his own vomit. He is indeed a shameless person. So our situation is that we have come to this material world with a plan to enjoy independently of Krishna. In this material world, each and every one of us is self-centered or ego-centered. We think that Ishwaroham, aham bhogi, I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. And we make so many plans for exploiting the material energy to fulfill our plans for sense gratification. And each and every person is going about his activities almost oblivious to the fact that there are so many other persons in the same consciousness as he is. We never stop to think who actually is the supreme controller ultimately. Who is the supreme enjoyer? So, in this condition, the only way that we will achieve perfection, the only way that we will go back to the spiritual world, is if we somehow or other give up our attachment to this false ego and to this enjoying spirit. We have to give up the enjoying spirit, janasya mohoyam aham mameti, that I, me, and mine is the only important goal of my life, to facilitate my sense gratification. This is the enjoying spirit. And we have to give up that enjoying spirit and replace it with the understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So, the system of Varnashram Dharma is a system, a system by which we can purify ourselves of this enjoying spirit, purify ourselves of our lusty desires, and make real progress in spiritual life. The system of Varnashram is not the ultimate spiritual stage. Varnashram is meant to engage everyone in different stages of development. And the highest stage is sannyasa, where one is able to cut the knot of material attraction or renounce everything and be completely absorbed in transcendental consciousness. Of course, we know from our teachers, especially Rupa Goswami, that prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mukshubi purityago vairagyam falgu khatyate. To renounce anything in this material world when it can be used in the service of Krishna, that is called falgu vairagya, or false renunciation. Real renunciation is called yukta vairagya, or renunciation in knowledge, using everything for the service of Krishna. So in order to keep us focused on our goal, we require people, there has to be a class of men who exemplify the highest principles of renunciation. The most difficult form of attachment to renounce, the strongest bondage that we experience in this body, is sex attraction or sex enjoyment. Sex enjoyment is the most intense form of physical gratification and represents the most selfish type of gratification. We are using someone else, and in the height of passion, we are oblivious to anything except our own sensual experience. In order to engage in this activity, it is necessary to depersonalize the object of our gratification. In order to feel good about using someone for our lusty desires, lusty desires are like a strong itch, a strong itching sensation. When someone engages in sex life, they feel a strong passion, almost overwhelming desire, which, when it is frustrated, causes mental distress. So there's an overwhelming, intense, itching sensation or strong desire. And after relieving oneself of that desire, after engaging in sex, one feels free from that desire for some time. So this is obvious that it is not the actual experience. That actual experience is just relieving oneself of this itching sensation, because it doesn't continue. It's chapala sukalabham lagire. It is a flickering, temporary kind of enjoyment. But this intense passion or absorption is a perverted reflection for love of Krishna. It is the strongest attachment to the material world. So Prabhupada said that sex life, licit or illicit, within family life or outside of family life, either way, still, to some degree, it binds you to the bodily conception of life. And as long as you're bound by the bodily conception, you're going to have to suffer old age, disease, and death, and rebirth. You're going to have to suffer from miseries caused by nature, such as earthquakes. Ring any bells? That was a mild earthquake. They come much worse, where thousands and thousands of people are killed. And as we go forward in Kali Yuga, these natural disasters will increase, because our sinful activities are increasing. So we get a reaction. As long as we try to avoid our responsibility in loving Krishna, in serving Krishna, just like in a perverted way, this is a perverted example, but in Yugoslavia, when the citizens revolted against the government, were no longer prepared to serve the government, then the government brought out the army. Now, of course, the whole thing was corrupt. But the principle is there that we are under the control of Lord Krishna. We are under the control of prakriti, material energy. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya. Everything in the world is moving under the direction of God. And we are His servants. If we rebel against God, we are destined to be punished. We should not be surprised when we see people starving in Ethiopia or in the Belgian Congo or in Chechnya, people suffering from war, or in Yugoslavia or on the streets of Harlem in New York City or in South America in so many cities. Even in the richest cities, people suffering and child abuse and this and that. All of these miseries We should not be surprised that these things are happening. They are reactions to our rebellious nature. And as long as we're attached to sense gratification, we're going to have to suffer the opposite side, sense deprivation. Sense gratification and sense deprivation. When you are harassed by hunger and thirst and famine and so many miseries, your senses are deprived. So gratification and deprivation, they're just opposite sides of the same coin. Sukh and dukkha, happiness and distress, pain and pleasure. So it's a very heavy price to pay for a little bit of pleasure. You walk through all the nice parks in Ljubljana, and in the summertime, in the spring, and in the fall, there are so many young couples embracing and engaging in practically up to sex life right in the public. And you might get confused and you might think, well, they seem to be enjoying bliss. But first of all, it is part of a game that they're playing. And it doesn't last very long. And there is a lot of cheating that goes on. In other words, even though one is very close physically to another human being, even up to the point of sex, you still don't know what the other person is thinking. You really don't know what the other person is feeling, what the other person intends. So, if we are satisfied to live such an illusory life, full of temporary relationships, and really they are, it's the height of exploitation, because nobody wants to take responsibility for family. Nobody wants to take responsibility for children. Sex is natural, but so are children. So is family life. But nobody, they just want the illusion of happiness which comes from sex life. They just want to forget their suffering for a short time. And the illusion is that although thousands and millions have gone before me and they've gone through distress, but my situation is different. This boy really loves me, or this girl really loves me, and our relationship will be so charming, just like Prince Charming. Everybody thought that Charles and Diana, oh, how charming, how beautiful, how wonderful. The model, the handsome prince and the fortunate princess, a perfect marriage. And look at the way it happened. Look at the way it ended. All our dreams, all our, you know, fanciful imagination, all smashed. Because that's reality. Reality check. So, we need to cut ourselves free from this somehow. And it may not be possible to do it immediately. We have to do it gradually. And therefore, there are different ashramas. One can engage in, brahmachari ashram or brahmacharini ashram, so that one can get some training and some good experience in renunciation. Then household life, engaging in sense gratification in a limited way, under rules and regulations. And then, at a certain time, preparing for sannyas, the final stage, by entering vanaprastha. And then when one is properly prepared, not earlier, when one is fully disgusted with sex life, yanmaitunadi grihamedi sukham hituccham, when one is convinced that there's no real happiness there, when one yadavadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde, when one is spits in disgust at the thought of the trouble that sex life causes, when he's disgusted by this, when one sees sex life for what it really is, the same thing, the same place where you pass urine, you engage that with someone else, the same place where they pass urine. And you rub skin together, and that's the highest form of happiness for us. It's really a stupid, disgusting experience. That's reality. We may be conditioned to it. That's a separate thing. It may be there in our mind, just like you can cut the genitals off a bull, but he'll still jump up on the back of the cow trying to have sex. He has no genitals left, but it's there in his mind. So it's something that we've been doing for many, many lifetimes. It's not easy to understand the real truth, but we have to come to that point if we want to get free, if we want to fly in the spiritual sky, if we want to live eternally without any misery, if we want to embrace Krishna and engage in loving affairs with the Supreme Eternal Lover, if we want clean, unadulterated, pure love, where there's no exploitation and no cheating, only endless bliss, then we have to be prepared to pay the price. So the fourth order, sannyasa, is supposed to be for people who are mature in their understanding, and they can set an example for us to follow. We can think in our minds that this is difficult, but someone has achieved it. And I also want to achieve that, and I will follow in their footsteps. So, it is very, very unfortunate when someone who is acting as an example for others has a relapse. When you have a disease and you appear to be getting cured of the disease, and then all of a sudden you fall ill again, that's called a relapse. So when one appears to have conquered material attachment, it appears that he is free from sex desire, and then has a relapse, and so many people become discouraged. That is very unfortunate. And therefore, one should take... Anyone can chant Hare Krishna engage in devotional service and take a humble position and make spiritual advancement. But when one accepts some upadhi, some designation, some position which is in the public eye, in front of the public, everyone is looking, he has to be very, very careful. Sanyasira alpa chidra sarva loke gaya. A sannyasi is like a white sheet. If a little dark spot comes on the white sheet, it shows up very prominently. Just one little dark spot, black spot, a stain or something. But immediately people notice that. Sarva loke gaya, everyone sings about it, everyone talks about it. So, such a person is called a vantasi, and that definitely is a very heavy kind of, label, or it's a heavy kind of stigma to have attached to yourself. It's almost, you know, cruel in a sense that here is someone who has tried to set an example, but they've fallen down. And they couldn't make it. And now they've gone back to their wife, or they've left their sannyas or whatever. And now we're saying, oh, you're a vomit eater. It sounds quite heavy. But the fact is that we have to be very serious about spiritual life. And it's not even someone who falls from the position of sannyas, the person can rectify himself. But he should definitely feel very humble about what has happened in his life. He should feel, just like generally a Vaishnava feels himself fallen. In the Sikshastakam, Lord Chaitanya says, Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. The mood is humility for any Vaishnava. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his childhood, he ate a mango that was meant for the deity. It was a young boy, 3 or 4 years old. How can he have blame? But when he was chastised lightly, just lightly by his father, oh, you have eaten deity bhoga, just to teach him not to do it, he took it so seriously that throughout his life, whenever he would be offered a mango, he would say, no, I am fallen. I cannot eat. He took a vow his whole life he would never eat mango again. So, if someone does fall from the position, and it's possible. Remember Vishwamitra? 60,000 years practicing meditation. He was a Brahmarshi, a very powerful person. He had such siddhis that he could destroy anyone with his power. He had so much shakti, so much energy. And he was meditating for 60,000 years. But he got distracted by Menka and he fell down. and practically became a householder for a short period. Shobhari Rishi was meditating underwater for 40,000 years and simply saw two fish having sex, and he lost control. So it's possible for us to fall. So the label given here, Vantasi, should be a warning that we should not try to accept some position of prominence until we are very serious about it. And at the same time, we should know that there is a need for such type of leadership. We have to take risks. Of course, here Prabhupada says that when one is no longer disturbed, especially by lusty desires for sexual indulgence, he is fit to become a sannyasi. Otherwise, one should not accept the sannyas order. So, in one sense, we might think that one has to be just like Sukadev Goswami, who didn't even see whether they were men or women, or just like Rishyashringa, when he saw the prostitutes coming to him, he was confused. What kind of boy are you? I've never seen a boy like you with bumps on their chest. And he didn't know what a woman was. He was so innocent and pure. But that is not what is being suggested here. What is being suggested is that one should be prepared, or one should be qualified by being able to control his senses. One has to be a Goswami, a master of his senses. There is always the risk at any stage. We fell from the spiritual world. We lost control of our senses somehow. Bharat Maharaj lost control of his senses somehow. Vishwamitra lost control. There are so many examples. So, at least we should be 75%, Prabhupada said. 75% pure before we accept such responsibilities. But at the same time, if nobody takes the lead, then we're not going to get very far as a society or even as individuals. We need people who are prepared to make the commitment and lead us out of darkness. And sannyas is the most ideal stage. One gives up the activities of a householder and engages activities meant for expanding Krishna consciousness. In our Krishna consciousness movement, many of our householders are just like sannyasis also. Prior to, after Lord Chaitanya, and prior to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there were very few sannyasis. You don't read about any sannyasis. They were either grihastas or babajis. Of course, babaji is very difficult to follow also. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur reintroduced or emphasized taking of sannyas or leaving the deep dark well of household life for the purpose of preaching. So he took that chance, and Srila Prabhupada said he didn't want to take sannyas, but his Guru Maharaj forced him to take sannyas. Sannyas is forbidden in Kali Yuga, but still, in order to expand the preaching, there is a need for some people to set a good example of renunciation and to be fully committed to that preaching, to be free from the entanglement of household life. Household life means what? Atho griha chetra sutapta vitayar janasya mohoya mahammam eti. Household life means so many complications. So grihasthas need encouragement and need a little pushing from the renounced order. The grihasthas will generally be 75-80% of the community. Generally speaking, most people will go through grihastha life. But to keep us focused, sannyas is also necessary. And therefore, even though this purport and this verse are certainly very heavy still we have to carry on. So I'm going to stop there. Are there any questions? Yes? Yeah. Yes, I heard that too. But it is actually the desire for followers, the desire for a yogi can regulate his life and control sex desire. But then he develops a desire for disciples and followers, and very dangerous. Therefore, one should not take many disciples. A sannyasi should not take many disciples, according to Lord Chaitanya. But still, Prabhupada says that a sannyasi will preach in public, and some people will come and request shelter. And even though it's a risk, Prabhupada says it's the sannyasi's duty to accept that person. Or a grihastha, for that matter, a grihastha preacher. He is a grihastha brahmachari, or a grihachari. I'm sorry? What did Prabhupada? Was he aware? Oh, he was very much aware. In fact, I first asked I was fairly convinced that I didn't want to marry, even after joining the movement. I almost got married, actually, but Krishna saved me. But I asked Prabhupada for sannyas first in 1973. And at that time, one sannyasi had just fallen down. So Prabhupada refused. This was in India. And so then I asked again in 75. But in 73, he was not prepared to give because one of his early disciples had taken sannyas and had fallen away. So Someone as powerful as Srila Prabhupada, someone as intelligent as Srila Prabhupada, his strategy was to somehow or other encourage us to convince us, to trick us to give up our material life and come closer to Krishna. If necessary, to trick us into surrendering to Krishna. Just like Vamana, he tricked Bali Maharaj. It was a trick. Just give 3 steps of land. Oh, okay, 3 steps, that's nothing. He took everything with 2 steps. And then there was no other place for the 3rd step except for Bali's head, which he gladly gave. So, the goal is not something in between. The goal is the final stage. Samarpanam, full surrender to Krishna. So, all of the different aspects of the process are meant to help. Taking a guru is meant to help you. Getting married as a grihastha, it's meant to help you. The goal is not to remain a grihastha. The goal is to become renounced and surrender to Krishna. But this can help you. Making friends with devotees so that you can tolerate your life and not be lonely. The goal is not to have a lot of devotee friends. The goal is to surrender to Krishna. At the end of the day, when you die, it's just between you and Krishna. So, Prabhupada took chances. He was prepared to accept the karma. It's something like Jesus Christ and the Christians. You know, they say that Christ died for our sins. Well, Prabhupada suffered for the sins of his sannyas disciples who fell down. He was so merciful that he was prepared to accept thousands of disciples. Now, he could do it. We cannot. We've seen the result. When we accept too many disciples, disaster strikes. And there's no need. We're not a cult with one charismatic leader. We're an association of Vaishnavas trying to help each other make a little progress in this human form of life. And one senior man can take 10 or 20 junior men, and another one can take 10 or 20, and another one can... And let's make progress. And whatever is favorable for our advancing, we'll engage in that. And if something is not favorable at another time, we can reject it. Prabhupada, he knew our fallen condition, and even one sannyasi, Madhuvisa, wonderful person, very nice man. And he was the king of Sankirtan. At that time, Sankirtan meant Harinam. King of Harinam. He was in San Francisco. He had a smile as wide as a mile. He had a big smile. And he was muscular, and he would jump while playing the mridanga. He would jump from here to the curtain there. You know, he was was really would lead ecstatic kirtans in San Francisco. So Prabhupada encouraged him to take sannyas. And he told Prabhupada, he said, "I'm not qualified." Said Prabhupada said, "Don't you think I can make you qualified?" Prabhupada pushed him. He wanted him to try. So somehow or other, again, due to being surrounded by too many women, he fell down. And Prabhupada was very sorry. He wanted to help him back up again, but some idiot made it a public thing. And so then he was finished. But he's still doing wonderful devotional service, and he's loved by so many devotees. Anyway, Prabhupada knew, but he took chances. If you don't try, if you just sit in your little, you know, Prabhupada could have been secure. He could have stayed in Vrindavan. He was 70 years old. He was a respected scholar in Vrindavan. Why should he leave? He could have thought of Krishna. He could have sat in front of Radha Damodar. He could have sat at the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. He could have done his bhajan and gone back to Krishna eternally, and no problem. No one would have found fault with him. Why, at 70 years old, why didn't you go to the West? What's the matter with you? No, but he took the trouble. He really took a lot of pain and trouble to come and give us this message and to accept us as his disciples. That was his greatest mercy, to accept malechas and yavanas and confused, bewildered, sinful, you know, fallen people. He took a chance. And Krishna was so pleased by Prabhupada's sincere desire to save the world that Krishna blessed him with success. So in that line, we also have to take chances. And it's expected. If Vishwamitra fell, if Shobari Rishi fell, we will also lose some soldiers. We'll lose some generals too. It's not just that footmen are lost, or just, you know, people on... you lose generals also in the battle. But we have to get stronger and stronger as we get more and more experience. Why do you think that Croatia came in third place in the World Cup? Why? Because they were all together since the Junior World Cup in 1980-something or other. And they, you know, they formed a team. They were all playing together. And therefore, when they played in the World Cup as a representative of one of the largest nations with 4 million people, you know, it's not even one-third as big as New York City. The whole country. But because they were together for many years struggling to become a team, a good unit, they were successful. And as we stick to our principles, as we work together, as we learn about our problems and become more experienced, we'll become a shelter for many people, and Prabhupada's efforts will be glorified more and more. This is our ISKCON family, and we have to stick together through all situations, and we have to help one another and stay together under all circumstances. And then, finally, after years of struggle, after years of mistakes, finally we'll come up with something really nice and beautiful. Already we have something nice, but we can get a lot better. And we're being tested, and that's great. Arjuna was tested. He had to kill his relatives. We don't have to kill our relatives. We don't even have to kill our god brothers and god sisters. We don't have to kill anyone. But we're being tested. We have to study the Shastra, discuss in a positive way, not in a negative way. We have to discuss in a positive way how we can get better. And sannyasis also have to get better. Are there any other questions? Yes. Given? How is it possible to stay aloof from the association of the opposite sex? Let's put it that way. Let's take it that our lady devotees also want to become advanced in renunciation. So, butter and fire. You put butter in the association of fire and it melts. So, obviously there has to be some separation. Whatever is practical. The management, of course, should organize in such a way that brahmacharis are not given service where they're side by side with brahmacharinis or vice versa. Obviously, that's the ideal thing. Sometimes it's unavoidable. And therefore, the brahmacharis just have to learn how to control themselves. And if they can't control themselves, then they should go out on traveling sankirtan. And even there, you're going to see women, but you'll see non-devotee women. So maybe you should go to a cave in the Himalayas. But in Kali Yuga, even there you'll find ladies. So, you just got to use your intelligence and not overly associate with the opposite sex. You can't avoid it to some degree, but there should be no idle talk. Grihasthas should cooperate, and if they have to engage in discussions or intimate discussions with their wives, it should be done outside the ashram, obviously, in your house or whatever. Ultimately, there's nothing wrong with marriage. But even there, you have to follow rules and regulations. But still, marriage is a good way. I can't, Srila Prabhupada was married. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not married. Gaur Kishore, at one stage, I believe, was married. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was married. Jagannath Das Babaji was married. Keep going back. Where do you find anyone who is not married? Very few. Huh? The whole Panchatattva were married. Lord Chaitanya took two wives. So we have to learn how to be good husbands and wives. That's also maybe more difficult. Just imagine me sitting at a big Janmashtami feast with my mung dal pani, and everybody's eating gulab jamuns and sweet rice and you know, it's very hard for me to control. I would be better to go off to my room and eat alone. It's much harder to be living as a sincere grihastha than to, you know, be a brahmachari off in the mountains or in the sankirtan or whatever. So become a good grihastha. It also requires a lot of practice and a lot of control. If you're feeling too much difficulty, I mean, practically there's nothing we can do. There's no way. When Prabhupada first came to America, he had it in his mind to only open a brahmachari ashram. But then he saw that Westerners were not accustomed to living separately from women. And therefore he made the brahmacharini ashram, for which he was heavily criticized by the Indians. But Prabhupada said they have no idea how to spread Krishna consciousness. They have not done it since the time of Lord Chaitanya, and they will never do it. And yet they'll just criticize me. Prabhupada did it. He showed the way. So it's not possible to avoid the association completely of the opposite sex. We should keep it to a minimum. Even householders, just understand, even householders should avoid the association of the opposite sex, including their wife, as much as possible. It is not that now I'm married, I have to spend 24 hours a day with my wife. No. Or if you want to offer yourself as a sacrifice, then you should take 10 wives and associate with them all. Not legal, so we can't do it, but anyway. Do you understand? Is there any, you have any objection to that, or further question? Huh? Yeah? No, it's a good point. I used to often wonder myself when I joined that we're supposed to try to remain brahmachari, but when I joined in Los Angeles, when I went there, I joined in San Francisco, but then I later on went up to Los Angeles. And there they had Radha Krishna deities here and Prabhupada there. So we were not supposed to turn our back to the deities, to Prabhupada, and we were not supposed to turn our back to the deities. So we would dance sideways, the women on one side and the men on the other. And here we were, Hare Krishna. And we were looking at the women and they were looking at us. And I thought, what is this? How can I, you know? So, you go out on book distribution and, you know, invariably you will either approach, some people say, well, Brahmacharis, they take a vow that I won't approach any women. I'll just approach only single men. Well, you probably won't find too many people out there to approach nowadays. So even you go out on Sankirtan, you're still going to have contact with the opposite sex. But somehow or other, you have to really get absorbed in your service. This is the key. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Uttam Bhakti. This is the perfection of devotional service, is to engage your senses fully in Krishna's service. Then you'll get some protection. You'll be insulated. If it's not as bad, no, Krishna will help you. If you sincerely are trying to do his work, and you make sure you have no idle time. The worst thing is idle time, when you allow your mind to wander. So avoid that. Always be engaged. Then you'll be safe. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.